defined by our character and the value we bring to other people. Let people define you by your character and the value you bring to other people, which is much more rewarding long term than just driving down the street in a Mercedes and saying, look at me.
Wow, I feel like you've really embodied this concept because
you
used to ride a Mercedes.
I did.
And now you have the Kia, so
let's talk about that. That's true. I want to reiterate, I've had three Mercedes, and I had the $1 million home. I had the $1 million home the three Mercedes, and people treat you differently. They lift you up.
Wow.
They put you on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't have that, then they drop you.
Yeah.
They drop you. Because they define you as we do that in our society. We do that. We lift people up on pedestals, entertainers who have ratchet lives, you know, sports celebrities who smack and beat around their wives, but we lift them up because we define them by how many points they can score, or we define a person by, you know, a singer who sings. But they're defined by how much money they have in their bank.
I'm your host Andre, and this is the Speak Your Life podcast, where we talk about everything as it relates to education, careers, values, mentors, and anything to do with purpose. We do this one impactful conversation at a time, whether it's solo dolo with yours truly or our amazing guests to share stories, industry insights, encouraging words, and calls to action that can help you get closer to your why. Today, I have a graduate of South Carolina State University. He was one of the top black advertising agencies in Atlanta, top three to be specific. He is a soon-to-be Master of Organizational Leadership from Lewis University, and he is the founder of Leadership Partner Group, a company that trains executives of various size companies on how to enhance teamwork and corporate culture. He's a husband, a father, and most importantly, a man of God. My mentor, Floyd Williams. Welcome to the show. My first question is, what is your house stand on?
Well, good evening, Andre. Glad to be on your podcast. And so that's a good question. I think we have to look at three characteristics or traits that I try to live by. I think the first would be integrity. I believe that integrity is what I prescribe to uphold when I'm working and operating, not just in business but in life. I think, you know, integrity is about, you know, doing the right thing, doing the thing that you feel that is right and fair and in the eyes of folks who are looking at you, and even doing the right thing when people are not even watching. Right. So I think integrity is what I use as a staple to live by, along with ethical behavior and ethical standards. I think that's very important to have an ethical standard that you uphold when you're operating in business and on a personal level. And then I would say that the last piece would be one that's very important to me, is that's humility, because I don't care how successful a person is. Humility plays a vital part in you being someone who has the characteristics to really not look down on anyone, but also feel like you're not, you know, no one's better than you. So integrity is something that I really hold true. I think the secret of success long term is those three components: having integrity, a sense of ethics, and also humility. Even when you have great titles or you're successful in life, you want to still maintain that level of integrity.
Yes, and I can definitely attest to that. He's probably one of the most humble men that I know who's also very successful. And I don't say that lightly about too many people.
Well, thank you.
So, you definitely have influenced me in that. So tell me, what are some things that influence you having and gaining these values over time into where you are now?
Yeah, that is a good question. I think, you know, in my study about leadership, you know, that's one of my, Andre, that is really my passion, leadership, and really learning all aspects of leadership. I realized The more I know, though, you know, the more I know about leadership, the less I know, because there's so much to know. But you ask about where I've got those values, and my study about ethical leadership and integrity. Those values come from the people you're around, the people you're around at a very young age. Mm-hmm. They also come from your associations, maybe friends, and also comes from the what you've been exposed to and your experiences. Yeah. You know, bad or good, ethical reflection comes from just looking back at your values. And when I look back at my values, a lot of those values, Andre, came from my parents. Mm-hmm. And then some of those values, as you mentioned, comes from my religious beliefs.
Yeah.
And so your beliefs and the people who shaped and framed and molded you at an early age usually are responsible for your values. Mm-hmm. So I have to give that to my parents. They were they worked hard. They had hard. They were very hardworking people. Very ethical.
Mm-hmm.
I think my parents had integrity.
Yeah.
And they instilled that into all their kids, including myself. And my dad was a hardworking man. He worked 35 years, probably 37, 40 years on the same job.
Wow.
He probably never took many sick days. Mm-hmm. He never called in and faked that he was sick and called in and worked. he was a hard worker, and he worked, you know, maybe 10, 12 hours a day. I saw him do that for 37 years.
Wow.
And he was a man of humility. You know, he's mm-hmm. very humble. So I think all that comes from, you know, my upbringing, and also it came from, you know, the books I read.
Yeah.
The people I associate with, friends,
mm-hmm.
Associates. And the experiences that I gained through life, you know, that those are things that I hold dear. I've been, and unfortunately, I've met many very successful people who I interact with in business arena and in life who were not very integral. They lacked integrity. They lacked ethical, you know, standards. Yeah. And I was disappointed. Wow. And I vowed, you know, sometimes we conform to our environment when we're exposed to people like that, but other times if we have values that were instilled in us early, we retract from that. Mm-hmm. And so I think being around unethical leaders, mm-hmm. unethical you know, successful people, and watching those people do things that I felt like I was opposed to, I began to just I want to go the opposite direction,
yeah.
With my character. So that's what I would say. That's how I shaped and formed my three incredible traits that have helped me throughout my career in business and in life to be a person that people see as one who has integrity and has ethical standards that I don't compromise. Right.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned your dad.
Yeah.
Worked for 37 years.
Yeah.
And you don't really hear that too many times nowadays, because like me as a millennial, they say that the average millennial comes out of college within 2 years has 12 jobs on average.
That's true.
And so to have that long standing and just be able to, like, you know, have that humility, you learn so much by, you know, just putting in that work, hard work. Absolutely. Every day, and having that integrity. So that's really, yes. really nice that you were able to see that model for yourself.
Sure.
And then we're able to, like, live that out. So that's awesome.
That's right.
So to kind of go along with that, how do your values affect the way that you serve people?
Wow.
Every day, whether it's through your business, church,
yeah.
Wherever you are.
Yeah, those values shape my leadership, my approach to leadership, if you will. And it also helps me. It is what has helped me embrace different type of leadership styles.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I think about all that I've shared with you about integrity, ethical standards, humility, you know, when you look at servant leadership is what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the servant leadership model.
Yeah.
That model encompasses everything I've been talking to you about.
Okay.
So servant leadership is really about helping people get their highest needs met. Mm-hmm. That's a that's one of the good definitions for servant leadership. It's not, it's servant first, right?
Yeah.
And you serve folks, and then as a servant, you slowly move into becoming a leader of those you serve. They mm-hmm. choose you as a leader. You don't choose yourself.
Yeah.
Kind of different, isn't it?
Yeah.
A servant leader is one who really doesn't seek leadership.
Mm.
But because there's a need, they step in to serve people, and through the service of others and helping people reach their highest or accomplish their highest needs, people say, you're the leader. Mm. People will say to you, we want you to be the leader. That's what a servant leadership model is all about.
Wow.
In addition to that, I also like transformational leadership. So transformational leadership is about not being a tyrant or a dictator, but letting people emerge and develop themselves and their skills, giving them autonomy to grow,
mm-hmm.
Letting them be innovators when you're leading people. And also, as they grow, guess what? You're growing too. So as mm-hmm. as they transform, you're transforming too. So you transform together. And the ultimate goal is for you to lead folks to become leaders themselves.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's a lot of stuff to unpack.
That's a lot. It's a mouthful, right?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So I remember earlier you talked about having these things that were just non-negotiable, like the leadership. I mean, integrity within your leadership.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Tell us about, I don't know, if there's been a time that you faced that your integrity or just your values were like kind of on the line and
yeah,
they were challenged in some way. How did you maintain that? Or
you know, that type of situation happens on a regular basis for me.
Mm.
I think it happens on a regular basis for everybody who's ever sat in a seat of leadership on some sort of high level, maybe a chairman of the board or, you're on a board of directors and you're working with folks or you're working in an organization where you have to be fixed in your philosophy about how you're going to operate inside of an organization where other people might not have the same values. So you have to get tested,
mm-hmm.
you know, about your integrity. I've been tested a lot mm-hmm. about as it relates to, you know, are you going to turn the other blind's eye to things that are not right, even if it's going to cost you. If you're going to suffer loss, and that's what integrity is about, you know, you're staying firm on your values, even if it causes you loss.
Mm.
And I've been in business ventures and worked with companies where I was asked to do things that were not in line with my philosophy about having integrity and being ethical and dealing with people, and I've lost.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost money.
Wow.
I've lost a lot of money. I've lost titles,
mm-hmm.
right? And you have to be able to be okay with that. You have to be able and be ready to walk away. If you say you want to operate in that mold, I mean, you sincerely want to operate in that mold of integrity and ethical standards and humility, it's going to cost you.
Yeah,
especially in the world we live in, you know, especially as a man of God, a Christian, a man of God, you will be tested. You said, has there ever been a time? I mean, it's constant. It's a constant fight to stand mm-hmm. for what you believe and not compromise.
Wow.
So that's if you're going to live like that and be that way, think about it. Everyone who's had a reputation of high standards of integrity, ethical behavior has been challenged all along the way.
Yeah,
I mean, we look at some of the greatest people in the world. Leaders have lost their lives because of it.
Mm.
So when you think about it, if that's where you stand and that's what you want to stand on, be willing to lose and take some losses for your beliefs. And I love that. I love being able to wake up in the morning and say, you know, I did the right thing. I feel good. And so I lost, but I gained.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
The BBC reports a U.S. Workers Online study said that nearly 70% agree public speaking skills are critical for success at work. Maybe you are a student looking to become a prime candidate for that internship or, might I say, full-time position. Or maybe you have already been in the job market for some time now and you just want to stand out amongst your coworkers looking to get that raise you feel like you've been passed up for too long now. Go to speakyourlife.com/private-lessons. That's speakyourlife.com/private-lessons. Again, that's speakyourlife.com/private-lessons. To become a better communicator tomorrow by signing up today. So how many jobs or career changes did it take you to arrive at where you are now?
Wow.
Going back to memory lane, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's go down the road for a minute. careers. Let's start talking about careers. My first career, of course, I went to art school. Mm-hmm. And I actually went to South Carolina State University, and then I went to art school, enrolled on a scholarship. Mm-hmm. And majored in advertising, got my degree. Fast forward, I worked in advertising. So I worked for a couple of ad agencies, and then I decided to go out on my own to start my own agency. And I ran that agency for 12 years, mm-hmm. and it was one of the three well-known boutique agencies. A boutique agency is a small agency that does powerful work, but they're small, small group of employees. And so I worked in advertising for a total of about 15 years. I ran my ad agency for about 12. Mm-hmm. And then the whole industry changed because of desktop computers and mm-hmm. Laptops, and everybody thought they were a graphic designer and they could do stuff. And they started having in-house agencies pop up. And so I couldn't command the kind of income that I was commanding, and I decided mm-hmm. I had to go big or go home, and I went home. So I started my own. I changed my whole career and got into the mortgage industry, and I went and got trained and everything, and I went through the whole process of learning and paying my dues, and I worked for a company out of Colorado that had a branch here in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and worked my way up from just a lowly loan officer to a senior loan officer to the manager and to the to regional manager's position. So
wow.
So I ran that region mm-hmm. for that corporation, and I learned a lot. I learned a lot about management. Mm-hmm. It was really tough. No one taught me about management. I had to learn on my own. I made a lot of mistakes. And that's why I teach leadership development right now, because I know how tough it is for managers and supervisors to do what they do without the right training and mentoring mm-hmm. that will help them to become excellent at what they do. And so I worked that for many years. I left that company and started. I went to another company as a branch manager. Then I left there and I started my own mortgage company. So I paid my dues. It was years before I went and started my mortgage company. So I want you to know that it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to go into the mortgage business and I'm going to start my own business. No, yeah. I paid my dues for years. Mm. And then I started my own company, and my wife and I ran that company with about 24 employees. And that was great. We had a good run. And in 2006, we decided to, we had another business that we were working, I believe in, diversifying. So that business, both did really well. But the mm-hmm. the second business venture was exploded. Yeah. And so we closed our mortgage company down, and I'd be, got involved in really leadership development. That's really where I think I made the shift and start working in sales and training people in sales and building mm-hmm. teams. And we started working in the direct sales industry. From there, I started, I moved from there to financial services. and start working in there. So how many are we at? How many industries are we? Have we like three or four?
Yeah, three now.
Yeah, three now. Financial services, and I'm still in financial services, but I've culminated all that experience working with companies like Coca-Cola and Prudential as clients. Those were my clients in my ad agency business. And
big clients.
And then going and working in the financial services industry and helping people with retirement strategies. I take all of that and I put it inside of the industry I believe I will finish up in, which is leadership development. So now I operate my own company. It's called Leadership Partner Group. And what we do is we do organizational development for companies. We go in and we help companies solve problems on the human relations side. Mm-hmm. People's problems, you know. Yeah. And then we also work with executives, and we, you know, as executive coach, I coach executives who are either in management wanting to go to the C-suite, or even, you know, executives who are already in the C-suite who need to have some coaching to help solve, you know, issues. It could be a plethora of things that are going on in the corporation.
Mm-hmm. And I'll also insert another one, and that was insurance.
Farmers insurance.
Well,
yeah, so that falls in the category of financial services.
Okay.
So financial services, insurance, annuities, all that. Okay. I still have all the licenses to do all the insurances too, and I do some of that as well with my clients. See, I have some clients who might be, you know, be looking for, you know, financial advice, retirement strategies. They might need key man insurance, some small business owners. So I have all those licenses to do all that too. And I have had a farmers insurance agency too, where we did PNC. It's called Property and Casualty Insurance too.
Yeah, and the main reason why I brought that is because I remember summer 2016 when I was in college, I was working for you as an intern.
Exactly.
I did it really terrible.
No, you really didn't. You didn't give yourself time to be successful. It takes time. He was doing really well. It's hard business. It's a tough business to be insurance. They call it a producer, so that's pretty tough to do. So.
Yeah. Oh man. All right. So there's this thing that we face in society in America that they say that, or it's just this concept of what I do is all of who I am.
Very good.
And you have people that embrace that concept to the extreme, whether they're lawyers, doctors, in financial services, and what have you, to the point where it's affecting their life outside of their career. For example, there are people who have nannies raising their kids, who people, you know, they have marriage problems as it relates to not being home much or just spending quality time with the people that love them and that care for them in their life. And so I really feel like that's an epidemic, to be honest.
Sure it is.
And there's so many people. I remember watching this documentary called One Nation Under Stress. And it was a doctor. His name was Dr. Sanjay. I can't remember his last name, but he is actually one of the MDs at Grady Hospital in downtown Atlanta. And he was just talking about like the amount of stress that we have in this country. And I think it has a lot to do with that whole concept of just like the workaholism and things like that we, I guess is part of the American dream, and that dream that people are just constantly chasing and they just seem to never achieve, quote unquote. Nobody's ever made it, and they're so part of this grind nation, part of this grind culture where, you know, work is great. You need to work, otherwise, you know, a man who doesn't work does not eat, as the Bible says.
Exactly.
But you know, there's this extremity that people reach where they're so much into their career that they don't know how to live life outside of their career. So maybe you could talk to us a little bit about that, and just maybe, I don't know, maybe if you've been there at one point in your life, or how you got out of that. And
that is such a great subject, and it is an epidemic. It's something that I went through, and that really, that's one of the things that I coach executives on, because many times executives get lost in that whole corporate arena, and they define themselves by the title. And they believe that they should act and behave a certain way and have a perception of what people think about them based on their title. And they try to live lived through that that title, lived their life through that title. But that the title is not who they are. I think someone introduced me to a lady who's in corporate America, and she says this is, let's call her Mary.
Okay.
Mary, and Mary, you know, start talking about, I said, tell me a little bit about yourself, Mary. She said, well, I work in corporate America. I'm executive in XYZ company, and I'm responsible for $2 billion of revenue for the company, and I do this and I do that. And she didn't tell me anything about herself. Mm. I said, tell me about yourself. Yeah. She told me about what she did.
Yeah.
And her title. Wow. And what she was responsible at work. She didn't say I have kids and I like to go swimming. I like to, you know, I like to eat, you know, cheeseburgers or whatever. But I didn't know anything about her when she finished up her Dun and Bradstreet. And that was a sad commentary because she defined herself by what she did.
Mm.
And I fell in that category before because we've had a lot of success, and I've had a lot of success in some of the business ventures, and I've been, like you said, quote unquote, an ad executive, and I've been CEO of a mortgage company, and you know, and a seven-figure income earner, and you have people look at you, and they look at you with those titles, and you start taking those titles on yourself,
mm-hmm.
and say, yeah, that's who I am.
Yeah.
But what happens if you lose the title? Your company goes out of business, or you get fired, or you lose your money. And what happens with a lot of folks, that happens with a lot of people, they have those what they call catastrophic situations, and they don't know, they lose themselves.
Mm.
They don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And people go through the extreme measures of, you know, committing suicide and taking their life because they lost their title as CEO.
Wow.
Or they lost their money. They jump out windows because the stock market crashed and they lost their money.
Yeah.
But it's just money. And it's just a title on a door and a desk, on a desk plate on the desk. It doesn't define who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I'm helping people, you know, really understand that and really getting to a place where they don't associate what they do with the real essence of who they are.
Wow.
Because the essence of who we are is much deeper than just how much money we have in the bank, the kind of car we drive. You know, it's funny that people will drive a car and define themselves as that person because they drive a Mercedes or a Lexus. And it's just kind of really strange that people will do that. They'll go through the extremes of defining themselves with material, tangible items so they can feel better and be perceived as somebody different than who they really are to people that they associate with. So you're right. And I think that's a sad commentary, Andre.
Mm-hmm.
I think my wife and I have vowed to not be defined by what we have or what we or where we live or whatever, but just be defined by our character.
Mm.
And the value we bring to other people. Let people define you by your character and the value you bring to other people, which is much more rewarding long term than just driving down the street in a Mercedes and saying, look at me.
Mm,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. I feel like you've really embodied this concept because
you
used to ride a Mercedes.
I did.
And now you have the Kia. So
Let's talk about that. That's true. I want to reiterate. I've had three Mercedes, and I had the $1 million home. I had the $1 million home the three Mercedes and people treat you differently.
Yeah.
They lift you up.
Wow.
They put you on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't have that, then they drop you.
Yeah.
They drop you. Because they define you as we do that in our society. We do that. We lift people up on pedestals, entertainers who have ratchet lives, you know, sports celebrities who smack and beat around their wives, but we lift them up because we define them by how many points they can score, or we define a person by, you know, a singer who sings. But they're defined by how much money they have in their bank, and it's sad. They're not defined by the character.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had the, you know, all the I won't call them trappings, but all the residual that comes from making a good living, and people treat you differently.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful because you can't let people lift you up that way, and start defining you by where you live, what you drive, and how much money you have in the bank, because you give yourself a false sense of security.
Wow.
And we know that, you know, we came in this world with nothing. Mm. And it's assuredly that we're going to leave with absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So we have to really know that the only thing that we have that is really of really value is our character.
Yeah.
What defines us? It's not what we how we live materially. It's our character. I wish we could come to a place where everybody understood that on a very real level. You know.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. A lot of great things that you said there. And as somebody who's lived through that, and you know, not just have seen stories, but just actually that was your story.
Yes, sir.
That's really great to hear. And we like to end it off on a high note. We always have the question of the day, and today's question of the day is: if you had a superpower, what would it be and why?
Wow, a superpower! Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? If I had a superpower, I would have the power to homelessness.
Yes,
right. Homelessness, and
getting past his bedtime.
homelessness and poverty, because I was able to go about 2 years to California, and I remember vividly looking at a lot of the TV commercials about California. Come to California, it's lovely. And they had people surfing and people on beaches, and it says California, and we've got the sun shines every day. I say, wow, you know, I've been to California before.
Yeah.
But I hadn't been in a long time, and I actually went to California, and I won't even say the city to protect the city. But when I got there, I didn't see people surfing and people, you know, climbing mountains. I saw countless of homeless people on the street, just streets and streets and streets full of people, you know, hunkering down for the night, trying to make a makeshift tent to get out of the cold. It was staggering. I never even imagined I would see a city with that many homeless people in it, and everybody was just numb to it.
Yeah.
So if I had magic powers, I would first focus on, you know, the homelessness and the folks that I see who are just, you know, just ignored in our society, trying to find a solution in a way to bring some normalcy to those folks' life, because it was really, I can't even tell you some of the things I saw. It, you know, and we have became null and dull to those type of folks who we just kind of walk by like they're not you or not me, but there for the grace of God go you and I.
Yeah.
Just a series of unfortunate events we could find ourselves right there, you know, trying to make a makeshift tent for the night. And people don't believe that. But it's true. You know, think about the Great Depression.
Yeah.
You know, people didn't think that they could be in tents, and they were.
Yeah.
It was shocking to people to people in America that they were on the street making makeshift tents and trying to get, you know, free bread and food to eat for their family. So that's what I would say I would do.
Wow, that's not your average I'm gonna fly or super strength, but that's a good power.
Yeah, in homelessness, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Floyd, so much for coming on the show.
Yeah,
I really appreciate your insight and just sharing your stories from your life and what it means to build your house on something firm, having a firm foundation, how important that is to understand that you are more than what you do.
Well, I want to thank you first. Again, I want to thank you also for having a message like this, Andre, because, you know, with all that we see in our society today that's going wrong, you're a young man who's trying to, you know, give people an opportunity to rethink where they put their values and how they approach life. And I think that's powerful. and your communication is going to be valuable to not only people your age, but also people in all generations. If we kind of, you know, take to heart what you're trying to do in your messages. So thank you so much for being a great, I guess I would say a thought leader, a new emerging thought leader in our society, because we need more people like yourself.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. All right. So you've heard it. And if you are a leader in your community, your company, and you want to take your skills to the next level, get started with Floyd today at leadershippartnergroup.com. And you can contact him and set up a meeting today. Yes. All right. Thank you guys for listening on this episode. Again, be sure to subscribe to the podcast to get your biweekly feed. Follow us on Instagram at SpeakYourLife. That's Speak Your Life with a Y, because life without your Y is meaningless.
Yes.
And be sure to give us any feedback from today's episode. Thank you. Have a great day.